All right, and the children are welcome to remain with mom and dad, or they are welcome to head off for We Worship. The New Testament lesson on this Christ the King Sunday is the end of the 25th chapter. This is the third week in a row we've been in this one chapter of the Bible. It's important to us because in the Gospel of Matthew, these are Jesus' very last words to his disciples. The very next sentence at the beginning of, at the end of this lesson is the beginning of the Passion story. So as Matthew has written his Gospel, this is the most important thing that Jesus wants his disciples and us to hear and to remember. The Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse. Someday I'll be brave enough to read it from the screen, but for now we'll read it right here. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to the one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You are accursed. Depart from you that are accursed. Depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to the least of one of these, you did not do it to me." And then these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And these words, these hard words, are indeed God's word for us today. Let us pray. Lord God, we want to be comforted by your words, and sometimes we are disturbed. So today, speak to us, speak in us, and speak through us. In the name of Christ our Savior, amen. And friends, as always, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, it's hard to imagine this, but as recently and as far into modern history as 100 or 125 years ago, there were still places on this earth where national boundaries had not been established, and some of those places they were fighting over and some were not. As far as I know, the only remaining place on earth is the Kashmir region in the north of both Pakistan and India, and they are fighting bitterly over this, but this one goes back not much farther. One place was Southeast Asia, and I think this occurred just after the beginning of the 20th century. Excuse me. The king of Vietnam and the king of Laos next door had a problem. They each had subjects living in that vague, undetermined area between the two countries, and they both, being kings, wanted to collect tax from their subjects. Neither wanted to go to war, very wisely, and thank goodness for that. So they agreed that each king would collect tax only from his people in the border area. Sounds pretty simple, right? But it led to an immediate problem. How do you decide, how do you tell the Vietnamese from the Laotians? And so they reached this agreement. Those who ate short-grained rice built their houses on stilts and decorated them with Indian-style serpents would be considered Laotians. Those who ate long-grain rice built their houses on the ground and decorated them with Chinese-style dragons were considered Vietnamese. The point is here that the location of a person's home was not what determined his or her nationality. Instead, each person belonged to the kingdom whose cultural values he or she exhibited publicly. Now, the story that we just read from Matthew is about people who live in two completely different kingdoms. They look alike. They go to the same schools and shop at the same stores. They live together, basically, but they're worlds apart, Jesus says. And that is the warning that Jesus intends to teach throughout this story. The two sets of people are worlds apart in this life, and Jesus says they're going to be a lot more than worlds apart in the next life. The scene here is the last judgment. The Son of God is seated at last on the throne of glory, surrounded by all the angels of heaven. Before the judgment throne are all the nations of the earth. And that word nations is important, and we'll come back to it in a moment. But Christ, the judge, is separating people, one from the other, some on his right hand and others at his left. Those on his right hand are welcomed into the kingdom. Those on his left are cast into eternal punishment in the lake of fire. And I don't know what to do with the idea of hell anymore, but I do know, because scholars have written, that whatever it is, it's even hotter than central New York in August. But on what basis are the nations judged and separated, some to heaven and others to hell? Is it the murderers on the left and the peacemakers on the right? Is it Presbyterians who get in and everyone else better pick up an air conditioner on their way to the trip? And no, of course it isn't. In this particular story, our eternal fate is based on one thing and one thing only. Here in the 25th chapter of Matthew, whether you are sent to heaven or to hell is determined solely by the answer to one single question. Did you live for others, or did you live for yourself? Did you give food to the hungry? Good, for in doing so, you gave food, we gave food to Jesus himself. Did you offer a thirsty person a glass of water? Did you welcome a stranger, an alien? Did you clothe the naked, care for the sick, or visit someone in prison? Did you live for others, or do you live for yourself? And the real question is, which kingdom do you live in? The kingdom of God or the kingdom of myself? Jesus is telling us here in this very last teaching to his disciples that this is exactly what matters the most to God, living for others. That's what God's priorities are focused on, and that's why Jesus came to earth in the first place. That's what God did for us by coming in the person of Jesus. That's what Jesus modeled for us in his every word and his every action. What matters most to God is living for others, and especially living for the least of these. This is scary stuff if we take it seriously. Is this really the same Jesus who welcomed the little children into his arms? We like that picture of Jesus. Jesus with the little lamb in one arm and the little child in the other. That's our warm and comforting Jesus, and that's the one we all want, and I certainly do. Is this the same Jesus who said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy"? Is it the same Jesus who healed the blind man and the bleeding woman and asked for nothing from them other than to be healed? I thought that the Bible teaches that salvation, whether we go to heaven or earth, is by faith and not by works, but this story seems to be teaching exactly the opposite. Well, I guess we're venturing into theology a little bit here, but bear with me. Salvation is by our faith. We are saved by our faith, not by our works. But, and I believe this is repeated throughout the Bible, if our faith is not the kind of faith that results in charity and compassion, both on a personal level and on a community level, then our faith is not the faith that's a gift from God, and it's certainly not the faith that saves. The faith that saves, the faith that is God's gift to us, is a faith marked by charity and compassion, a faith that changes us both into disciples and into a community whose priorities are the same as God's priorities. It's not that faith and works save. It's that the kind of faith that saves us will always result in works, because that is the gratitude we show to the God who saves us. Do you remember, again, how the kingdoms of Laos and Vietnam could tell their subjects apart? What kind of rice did they eat? How did they build their houses? Each person belonged to the kingdom whose cultural values he or she exhibited. And so it is with us. We live in this world, in this kingdom, right here. But as part of God's kingdom, where we are the true citizens, we are called and expected to live God's priorities and God's values and God's mission. We are residents, you and I, of the border zone between the two kingdoms. But we must always remember who we belong to. And now I'd like to add one more idea to the stew. Verse 32, right at the beginning, Jesus says, all the nations will be gathered before him. Jesus clearly says here that when judgment day comes, it is not only individuals who will be separated into the saved and the damned. It is nations as well. Which wants us to ask ourselves, how will our country, the United States, fare when asked by the Son of God? When I was hungry, did you give me food? When I was an alien, did you welcome me? When I was sick, did you take care of me? These are all deeply controversial questions in the political life of our country now, and here's what the Bible says to us right now. How will our country answer those questions when the day comes? You take a trip about 3 hours, pretty much due east of here, you'll come to the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Presidential Library. It's in Hyde Park and well worth the trip. I went with a friend and I thought I was just visiting another old house, but I had an amazing day with the history of our country on that day several years ago. And you walk in the library itself, the first thing that you see, as you'll probably see in every presidential library, is a huge portrait of the person, in this case Roosevelt, and a quote. And this is what was considered by the developers of that library to be the most important thing that Roosevelt said. He wrote, spoke, at the height of the Great Depression, he said these words: "The test of our progress is not whether we add more to the abundance of those who have much. It is whether we provide enough for those who have too little." I can't imagine any president of any stripe saying words like that in our modern time. And I'll say them again. The test of our progress is not whether we add more to the abundance of those who have much. It is whether we provide enough for those who have too little. This at the height of the Depression, when men and women were lined up around the block just to get a piece of bread or a bowl of soup. I believe that Matthew 25 teaches us that God has high expectations of our great country. I believe that those expectations have far more to do with helping the poor and the hungry and the sick and the alien than they do with any of the other things that we're arguing about in our political life. So here are God's values. Here's what God cares about, laid out for us in crystal clear terms. Are we disciples, and are we a church who lives out the values that God spells out in the Bible, caring for the least of these? Are we as a nation living the values that God spells out in the Bible? What does God want of North Presbyterian Church, and what does God want of our beautiful country? I believe that God wants us to take care of the least of these, to welcome them and to feed them and to take care of them when they are sick, to take care of us when we are sick. Our gospel lesson this morning offers us a great challenge and also great good news. The challenge is to ask ourselves, which kingdom do we belong to? The kingdom of God or the kingdom of myself? Which set of values do our lives and our church and our country exhibit, and which do we want them to exhibit? And the good news is, those are our challenges this morning, and the good news is that God gives us the opportunity and the ability and the imagination to reorient our lives and our communities according to God's priorities. So friends, I invite us to ask ourselves, to ask God to help us, to help our church, and to help our communities and our country to live for others, to live for the least of these, because that is what Jesus tells us is most important to God. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are challenged and disturbed by your words when we would much prefer to be comforted. Challenge me, Lord God. Challenge David to live for others. Challenge each of us here today and our church to live for others and for the least of these. And challenge our country, Lord God, to live to our ideals and be of help to the least of these. This we pray, Lord God, and we thank you for the gift of your love and of your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.